Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Five down and one to go. I'm referring to the six evidences that the Apostle Paul lists in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as the proof that the Thessalonians were indeed the elect of God. Paul says in verse 4, "Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for," he says in verse 5, and starts a list of six things that constitute the evidence that convinces him that the Thessalonian church members that he's writing to in this epistle are indeed the elect people of God. And so, plunging right into the doctrine of election, often controversial in our day, apparently not controversial at all in Paul's day, Paul gives six evidences for his belief that the Thessalonians were, in fact, chosen by God. In fact, that's the way it's translated in some versions, something like knowing beloved, God's choice of you. Instead of knowing beloved, your election by God, it says instead, knowing beloved brethren, God's choice of you, because that's what election means. God's choice of you. And it is controversial. I know most of you are aware of that. And it is denied, and it is redefined by some to get around what are the plain statements of Scripture. But if you are a Bible believer, you just need to take the Bible for what it says. And nothing really could be more plain than what it says. God did choose some people. Those people are the ones who, by the work of the Holy Spirit, come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it's genuine faith, then it is manifested in some pretty obvious ways, six of which are listed here. And in essence, your proof of election is your proof of salvation. Or maybe to put it this way, the evidence that you are one of the elect of God is the evidence that you have been truly born again by the Spirit of God, and you are manifesting the changes in life, the changes in thinking, the changes that come about in the lives of those who have been truly saved. And so we continue this discussion on this Tuesday, March 12. Thank you for joining us, and many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. All right, five down and one to go. But the fifth one I think I want to say a little bit more about, but let me go through the first four. What are they? The evidences of their election. Number one, their reception of the gospel. They believed it. It came to them not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. They heard it and they believed it. That is evidence of election. Number two, their changed lives. They became followers of Paul and the missionary team. They followed those who God used to bring the gospel to them and whom God set before them to get them started in their Christian life so that they would know what the Christian life was about and how a Christian ought to live. Number three, they became examples to others. After they grew in grace and matured a bit, it wasn't long until, according to verse 7, others were following them. They became examples to others in all of Greece. in Macedonia and Achaia. That's good evidence of their election of God. Number four, their effective witness. They were vocal witnesses of the gospel that God used to save their lives. The word of the Lord sounded forth from them, according to verse 8. And they had a widespread testimony, not only in Thessalonica, but in every place, all around that area. And then number 5, the one we dealt with yesterday, is their rejection of false religion, verse 9, where we read, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and," here's the pertinent part for our discussion today, "and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Now, in dealing with that yesterday, I applied it to a discernment that God's people have about false teaching and a recognition of false teaching and false teachers, which they will not listen to, but instead will gravitate to those who are preaching the whole counsel of God, the true word of God. And I quoted for you some verses in John chapter 10 where Jesus says exactly the same thing. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." There are imposters who are not true shepherds. They will not listen to them, but they will not follow them. They will only follow the voice of the true shepherd. Now, of course, that requires that people hear the word of God not directly from Jesus, because he's no longer on earth, he's no longer speaking out of his own mouth, but he speaks through preachers. He speaks through spokesmen. He speaks through those that he raises up to proclaim the word of God. And if a man is preaching the word of God faithfully and correctly, God's sheep will recognize the voice of their Savior coming to them from the voice of that particular man. God's sheep will rally to a faithful under-shepherd, a faithful preacher of God's word. God's people will turn away from those who are preaching a false gospel. That's what the scripture teaches. That's what happened in Thessalonica, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It has been a while, but some time ago, on more than one occasion, I read accounts where some missionaries in some parts of the world have encouraged people to believe it's okay to believe in Jesus without leaving your former religion. After all, that's difficult. It's difficult to renounce your former religion, your family religion, your community religion, your traditional religion, your heritage. Some people are so ingrained into their cultural religion that it becomes part of their identity. To be a citizen of this country means you are going to be a follower of this particular religion, whatever it may be. But if it's not Christianity and not true Christianity, and it's a shame to have to say that, but that's the truth, because there are many false teachers, many false prophets who've gone out into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that you lose not the things which you have worked for, but that you receive a full reward. You've got to pay attention. So even those who call themselves Christians are not always Christians, true Christians. Even those who call themselves gospel ministers and preachers are not always true gospel ministers. Satan has worked very hard to create attractive counterfeits, and among Christians in countries that are majority Christian, he will work very hard to create counterfeit versions of Christianity to deceive people. That's what he is. He is a deceiver. Jesus said to the Pharisees in his day, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar. And he's the father of lies. He is a master deceiver. That's what he does. He just spins lie after lie after lie so quickly, just throws them out so rapidly that people are almost overwhelmed by all these lies. But one evidence of your election by God is that through all of this confusion, you can hear, you can discern, you can detect the voice of your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can detect those who are teaching the true word of God, and you will be faithful to listen to and follow that voice, whereas you will also detect a false teacher, and you will flee from him. You'll get away from him. You don't dabble with that. Now, I was saying, I have read in times past about missionaries in some parts of the world who will give people the message that it's okay to believe in Jesus and still have your shelf gods, idols in your house that you've had all of your life. After all, that's a cultural matter. That's okay. You don't have to throw those out. You don't have to stop going to the religious feasts and other festivities that involve the worship of the false god that you used to worship. The important thing is that you're trusting Jesus in your heart. That's all that matters. That's not what Paul observed. That's not what Paul thought was the truth. He said, the reason I know that you are truly saved, which is the same thing as knowing that you're election by God, he said, the reason I know that is because you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You didn't turn to God and add him to your idols. You didn't add Jesus to your former religion. You didn't start dividing your time between worshiping Christ and worshiping your previous gods. You didn't start serving Jesus on Sundays and going to religious feasts for other so-called gods at other times of the week so that you didn't have to bear the ignominy and reproach that comes with converting to a new religion that seems very foreign to the culture of the place where you live. Believe you me, Christianity was a new counterculture religion when it came to Thessalonica. And Paul said, those who truly believed in Christ turned to God, amen, turned from your idols, amen, amen. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ demands our exclusive faith, our exclusive honor, our exclusive worship, that you cannot divide yourself between worshiping Christ and worshiping a false religion, or cannot divide yourself between giving credence to the true gospel, but also continuing to hold on to what you know to be a false gospel. No, that's not permissible, not to followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to decide. You've got to make a choice. You've got to choose to follow Jesus to the exclusion of every other god, every other religion, or else you are not following Jesus. You're not believing in him at all. You're just playing games. You're playing word games. You're pretending. You're pretending to become a follower of Jesus, but you're not. So let's be clear about this. Rejection of false religion is a necessary mark of true conversion that evidences your election by God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.